Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servo Didio, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for joining this evening. Have a very, very happy new year. It's so exciting to be back in 2018. Remember, Insight into Healing airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/insightintohealing. And please check out my book, Finding Your Peace Within the Chaos, at www.ccbpublishing.com/aservodidio.html. If you have any questions, show ideas, or you'd like to be a guest, please send me an email at insightintohealing@gmail.com. Well, tonight's episode, I really wanted to tackle the topic of addiction, overdose, and recovery. I know I've covered these topics before in previous shows and also in my book, but unfortunately, this is a growing epidemic. On the line, I have my guest, Rob Pantoliano. He graduated from Fordham University in 2004, worked in residential treatment and JBFCS in Westchester for 4 years. He was a consultant for ACS for a year and then for a TBI agency for 2. Also stayed home for awesome Hayden Pantoliano for 4 years and then moved to Akron, Ohio in the summer of 2015 and is working in the recovery community since. He does a lot of outreach stuff mostly, is on the front lines in the heroin OD war. Touring with returning to residential adolescent work is his calling, and also a brand new consultant for Cincinnati Legal Aid developing social work-based educational trainings for legal staff. Rob, welcome to Insight into Healing. I'm so glad to have you on this evening.
I'm just grateful to be here, Alexa. Thank you for having me.
It's been so, you know, just watching this epidemic, as we talk about addiction and recovery, the heroin epidemic, and I know you're saying you're on the front lines of that. How has that been for you?
Oh, it's tough because coming to Akron from New York, I mean, obviously the epidemic is there. You know, it's around the metropolitan New York area, and it's all over the country. But literally, coming to Akron is like the epicenter of it because it really is now they're putting fentanyl in the heroin. So you're looking at, like, Russian roulette. You're looking at 50-50 chance that you're either going to die or you might survive. And it's just just grips you because even you'll see your friend overdose, and you're like, I want the strength of that heroin. And coming here, it's like people you know and people you – who are friends of friends, and then it starts becoming people you are friends with. You know, I had a roommate that died and overdosed, which was crushing. And just, you know, the Saturday before Christmas, one of my good friends from Akron, real true friend, you know, he overdosed. And he had a nice run of recovery in him and was really strong in his program, but it still can get, you know, it still can reach you. And it's just unlike anything that I'd ever experienced because, you know, I'd hear stories working residential from the kids that lived in the inner city, but this is just something brand new. And you just have to steel yourself to this is every day. And every day there's going to be that phone call that someone else has died now. And it gets closer and closer. And it's devastating right now. And it's really a real war. It's like the front lines are out there and, you know, this is a big deal. And, you know, it's just devastating.
Yes, and yeah. I've received so many questions over the break. I stopped in December before New Year's and just received question after question about a lot of people who have lost a loved one to an overdose. And how do you deal with the holidays before and after? And also, how do you deal with the holidays when you have someone who's still actively using? What would you say for those listeners?
Well, it's just a devastating nightmare for those that are seeing it firsthand day after day. And I mean, from experience, you know, they say this disease takes prisoners and we take hostages. And, you know, I lost a 20-year marriage over this. And, you know, at some point you have to be blunt with yourself and say, you know, I just threw that away because the drugs were more important at that time. And yes, there's a lot of factors that go into that, but it is what it is. It's just for those families just to reach out, get help for yourself, get into an Al-Anon program or support program, because if you're not taking care of you, there's no way you can handle your family member. So that's the first thing I would say is just get to an Al-Anon meeting, see, you know, meet parents and spouses and siblings that are going through this and just talk about where you're at, because hopefully it's a good meeting. They'll accept your questions and work with you. But the first thing they'll tell you, and I've been on the other side of this, but, you know, is to get away from that person, or you have to just kind of separate where you're at just to be able to deal with you, because this will take everyone with them. And holidays are always a trigger. Like, we call it amateur season or silly season. It's always a trigger for people to drink. I mean, New Year's Eve is an obvious one. Personally, I don't even want to go out on New Year's Eve. I never really liked it anyway, but, you know, I just don't want to be around it. But holidays are always a big trigger, and that's when we're on high alert here and just, you know, just educating clients and just telling them, you know, whether or not you feel it, it's going to be a big trigger for you, and you can't fight this alone. Just be aware of what's out there and be aware of what you take suggestions of what you should do. And you know, suggestions usually mean in this field, it's, you kind of have to take them, because, you know, it's coming from people who have dealt with it. You're not alone, because any experience you've had in recovery, someone else has had the same or worse. So holidays are always a big trigger, and you just have to come up with a plan where you don't have to be around it or around it as much. And I mean, these are simple things like family functions or a party, you know, get there late, leave early. You know, I would say, always say, if you're uncomfortable, that you can leave, and don't worry about, you know, what you need to do, just get out of there. And if it's not someone in the family that wants to leave with you, call your sponsor, call someone in support, because I'll tell you, coming to Ohio, recovery really hit full gear for me. And something I had prayed on is, I wish I had friends that would be 4 a.m. friends that would actually come when you call, and not, like, you know, maybe see you for something, you know, like you bring something to them. It's like people that actually will come and be where you are and make sure you're away from it and taking care of yourself. And there's nothing, you know, there's no pride in it, and that, you know, you just do it. It's not like anyone is expecting you to, you know, you just be yourself and just be honest of where you're at. So that's, yeah, it's a tough season, and luckily we're through it, but every holiday is a drinking and or drugging event. So throughout
and
the
you
year.
Brought up a great point when you were talking about, you know, even if you're a family member or you yourself are using, is to get into a support team, to get into a network, because so many times I see clients, I see loved ones who come in and they've quit cold turkey. And I mean, I commend mm-hmm. them. That's amazing, amazing work. It's incredible work, and I commend them for doing that. But I believe professionally that you really need to know what was that underlying trigger that became became such active use, that it became so dysfunctional that you gave up so many important things in your life for this drug, for the alcohol. I mean, I know some people can. I haven't seen many who have been able to stay clean on their own without having any intervention. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, our agency here, we take all paths to recovery, whether you want to do 12 steps, whether you want to do the Buddhist path, the church path, we accept all paths to recovery. And the great thing about this agency is that it allows you to challenge yourself, try different things, like whether it's exercise or, you know, going on a adventure hiking/biking canoeing trip, and just really challenge yourself physically. And by doing that, you feel better mentally. But I'm a big proponent of the 12 steps. I mean, obviously without them, I don't have the positive journey that I've gotten to. And saying that, that could go the other way in a heartbeat. And here you have to analyze how it affects you. And so if someone relapses, you know, the key is to say, well, where were you at that moment? And yes, you have to relive the relapse. And the addict, as soon as he comes off relapse, wants to forget all about it. I should know. But you have to map out the relapse to see what were the triggers. You know, for me, it was always the inside job, like always building it up inside. I can be around alcohol, I can be around drugs, and not take them. But there's also times when you're around it and it could just come around the corner. Like, say you're away on a holiday and it's a resort where people drink and you're fine, and then you come home and then all of a sudden, oh, there it is, tapping me on the shoulder saying, okay, well, you did the good job, but now, you know, they have to understand that now I have to do what I need to do. And it's just being open and honest, and it takes a lot of work, and you have to just do work on yourself. But, you know, hopefully if you have a support network and sponsor and the 12 steps and a home group, you know, they know you for who you are, and they can tell where you're at before you even know. And, you know, it just takes trust. And I've had to come and trust people. You know, I didn't really move to Ohio by choice, but things happened where I did. And, you know, it was a journey in itself, but it really, I really had to trust people, and that's all it takes. I mean, my sponsor will say, all I ask you to do is trust me. And how many years did it take me to really understand that? And that's what he says to every person he starts with, you know, just trust me. Sounds simple, but at the time you're like, well, why should I trust you? I don't know you. I mean, being from New York, we don't trust anybody, you know, like, I don't know, but that's really the key. It's just,
how do you teach somebody to trust? If you really think about it, especially someone who's been triggered to drink from a history of abuse or betrayal, neglect, trauma, then that could have been a trigger to cause them to become an addict,
right,
to become to use. And it's, how do you teach someone who's never trusted anybody or anything to trust? That's a huge leap of faith, I think, but it's such an important step in life to take that.
Well, the first thing is, you know, even from my history, you know, my birth mother was a drug addict, and it is shown to be medical, you know, it's a disease, and you will catch, you know, you'll get the disease from the person that was using historically. But you have to get to a point of strength saying, okay, that's my story, but it's not a crutch for you. It's okay, but what do you need to do to avoid that? And, you know, you really can't teach it. I mean, I've been to rehab, I've been to detoxes, I've been the outpatient. I've even seen a therapist for substance abuse who was amazing, because he had a nice way of hooking you into the 12 steps. But all you can do is suggest how to do things based on, I've experienced this, this has worked for me, I've given it a chance. And, you know, relapse is part of the recovery, but I think people just have to trust you where you're coming from. I'm not a big believer in the 90-90, that you have to do 90 meetings in 90 days. And I think our friends listening now are probably not happy for me to say that, because, you know, at that point, you're just forcing yourself. If that's what works for you, then do it, you know. And always, when you feel like, I don't feel like going to a meeting, you absolutely should go. But find a program that works for you, find a home group, find a sponsor, and then find the meetings that you're comfortable. And that could be as little as 2 or 3 a week, at least later on, as you get some time, you know. But you really just have to lead by example. You can't make people just jump in and say, do this or else. It's just, you have to buy in yourself, but you have to give it a chance. And, you know, the biggest advice I can give is, even when you fall, just get back in there. And, you know, just get back to whatever structure in your life will help you deal with this issue. And it's as simple as, you know, wake up in the morning and meditate. You could just say the serenity prayer and just, you know, ask for guidance in the process, or ask for God's guidance, or however you want to do it. I've been on the other side where I've asked for things I wanted, and then, you know, other things became more important. And the first day you don't wake up and do what you do. Like, I do a lot of yoga. I do meditate twice a day, you know, when I wake up and when I go to sleep, and what I'm grateful for, and pray for other people. As soon as that stops, all the other stuff falls away, and everything that you build your life back up will go away in an instant. And, you know, I've seen that with me, and, you know, but you just got to get back up. But just realize that people have a choice. You could make the right turn, keep doing things the way you were doing them, and you could be miserable in that addiction, or you can do it by taking suggestions and making that left turn. You know, we say here, you know, I never make a right turn. We only go left, because we know what the consequences are. You may get away with it, you may not. And those consequences could be your death, obviously, but it could be incarceration. It could be loss of a marriage. It could be a lot of things. But you know what? Give it a chance. And if you make that left turn and involve yourself with people who do this every day and can relate because they've been there, you know, they're happy in their circle in recovery. And most of my friends now are in recovery. And I'm fine with that. And I can be around people who aren't, but there's days I can't. And I'm totally okay with that. You know, it's just, there is a better life out there, and it takes work, but it takes work on you, and you'll be the better person for it. But, you know, at least give it a try. Do what the program asks you. If you get a sponsor who says you got to do 90-90, or says you got to go to church, do it, try it. You know, they're not going to say you have to go forever. Just try for a couple months, or at least try to go to these 3 meetings this week and check in and say, you know, give the step work a chance, because you can't just do it the first time and say, oh, I got this. Because as simple as the book may seem, like the big book, it was written for a target audience, obviously, but you know, there's people I know who are very intelligent who can read it straight out, and I don't get that book. And it's like, no, you have to just keep hitting it over and over and just go over the things that work for you, whether it's going over the first three steps of the 12 steps or reading a certain chapter. It really does work, and you highlight things and you go back over them, and then they become in memory that you can just remind yourself of little sayings. And I'll tell you a little story. In New York, when you go to a meeting, on the wall, these little sayings like live and let live, you know, keep it simple, you know, and these things are like, well, those are silly. I'm like, no, if you're at a meeting and you're just not tuned in for whatever reason, you can just go to those and just remind yourself that's where you need to be. And it's a comfort level, and it, you know, it is routine. And like I said, I'm a big proponent. Without the 12 steps, it's a hard road. I mean, there are cases where people will just stop using one day, or they go to church, or they do other things. But I know I can't, and I try to push. I mean, the agency I'm at now, we accept all paths, but I'm like the one person in the room screaming, like, it's not going to work unless you really do the work in recovery in the 12 steps.
Yes. How did you know? Like, each person has to have their own journey. They have to make it their own. How did you know that? What was the moment when you said, okay, I trust? How did you know?
I think it just comes to you. I think you lose enough that I don't want to do this anymore. And you kind of have to accept, like, your journey when you're actively using means you lost a 20-year marriage to, obviously, my wife of 20, you know, relationship of 20 years and my best friend. And you think, well, maybe a best friend would tell their soulmate or whatever, this is what I'm struggling with. But that's the one thing I didn't do. I said, well, I can handle this. This is the way I was brought up. Nobody needs to know your business. And, you know, you just got to do it yourself. And that didn't work. And that's a betrayal. And that's just, you know, to me today, it doesn't make any sense. But I know I was there. I just think I just got worn out, and I just got tired of, you know, like any run I had, you know, my sponsor will say make it 3 days, not 3 weeks, because 3 weeks you're back in another treatment program, you know, or you're too far gone. And I think the last, you know, I worked really hard when I got to Akron to get professional life back, to get personal freedoms back, like my own car, you know, a new relationship right outside of a divorce. But I put those things ahead of my recovery, and literally within a 48-hour span, I lost the job. I lost the car, wrecked that one, and then the relationship is pretty much dead, because I put everything in front of, you know, it was like, I need all these things back, but that's fine. But to be like manically crazy about getting them back, it's like, that's a warning sign. It's like, okay, maybe you need to step back and just approach it from a level where you're comfortable, and that the journey is going to take its time, not yours, and stop saying, you know, it has to happen by this time. I have no control what my journey is. I just trusted my higher power to guide me through it. And, you know, the rewards will come. And, you know, you're going to get a lot of outside noise. You're going to have people say it's not going fast enough. I don't know what he's doing. But, you know, this time around, it's like, it's just, I'm just taking it one day at a time. I'm grateful I was sober today, Alexa. I'm grateful that I didn't feel the need to drink or drug. You know, and I'm pretty hopeful about tomorrow. But, you know, I know people with 30 years, 35 years, the majority of them will say, the key is, I didn't drink today. Let's just hit it again tomorrow and try the same thing.
And I think it's, you know, taking it one day at a time. I think it's also being able to sit with yourself, because it sounds like you've done a lot of work on knowing yourself. And I think sometimes, a lot of times, people will jump into a new relationship, or let me get a new job, or let me get this new house, think I'll feel better. And it's not. It's coming from within. You really have to face those demons and work through them, but you can't, you know, be distracted or self-medicate. And it's hard to be with those things that are your inner trauma or inner conflict. But the only way to start moving forward in healing is being able to sit with them, acknowledge them, and then start healing from them.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with the feeling that, you know, I had a list of 10 things to do today, and I maybe got one done. I mean, that's the field I'm in anyway. That's every Monday I come in with 20 things are waiting for me. You know, I didn't get through any of them. But even here, it's like, even if you had a day where you watched a movie or played video games, I mean, you don't want to do it every day because it kind of snowballs. But, you know, just be, you got to get to a point where you're comfortable inside you, and you have to know that I don't control this journey. I'm powerless. I mean, to go back to your question, how did you come around to trusting and really working this program? Because I realized I'm powerless. and this disease is stronger than I am, and it'll win every time. And it's not like I have to beat this disease. I just have to beat it every day. And then everything else will come with that. But, you know, I realized I was powerless and that my way is cliche, but my way wasn't working. And in that my way isn't working, I'm also miserable. And even in putting everything else first, I don't know if I was in a strong enough place to say, hey, you know what, this may not be a good idea. I mean, I've had a couple of opportunities to move away from Akron to do like a, you know, maybe a more serious job or something that would guide my professional life better, but I couldn't be away from my support network, because even as much as, you know, it's been a good time and I you know, I've worked hard at me, it still wasn't time to move on. And, you know, now I look at it like, you know, I just like helping. I like doing the community outreach and I like just being involved. And then anything else from that, it'll come to me. I mean, obviously we all have responsibilities. I mean, even now I have stuff I need to do that I have to push myself, but you know, it you can't push the time frame on it. And I think the last go around when I got everything back, it had to be done then. And now, you know, my approach to life is we'll just take it. If you want something, you have to put the effort in, but you know, you don't have, it's not the be all end all. You have to be happy with yourself. So,
well, we know, just have a caller. Hold on 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Hello and welcome. You're on the air of Insight into Healing.
Hi, Alexa. It's Crystal. How are you?
Good. How are you? Happy New Year. Thank you so much
Happy
for calling
New Year.
This
Happy New Year. I've been listening to the show, and I think that's amazing. You guys are doing a fantastic job tonight.
Great.
Thank you so much. I know it's a tough topic, and I know you've been on my show before, and we you're a filmmaker, and we've been working on a lot of different things. And I think we've talked about addiction and about trauma, and I think especially around this time of the year, it's a tough time.
Well, I was listening to your guest comments on that, and I think, you know, he referred to that as like this is commonly like a trigger for certain people, like this time of year, all the holidays and parties, and I think being exposed to that, you know, environment and atmosphere. But I think that, it's a very difficult time of year, and it's just very unfortunate. You know, me personally, I've never had that issue, but being around people who do struggle with addiction, it's heartbreaking. And you feel, he talked about feeling powerless. Well, many times I don't know if people who do have the addiction realize, the friends and the family and loved ones, we feel powerless because we feel like we can't reach them when they're there in the throes of it. You know, it's very difficult.
Yes. And I think also, go ahead, Rob.
Well, no, just like I touched on it before, and I think, I mean, this is a learning thing for me. So I'm not saying this is an original idea, but you got to realize that sometimes people have to let you go because they don't have to throw their lives away because of your disease, because of your addiction.
Yep.
It's a hard to accept from the other side.
Very painful,
But at the end of the day, you know, I don't think even the throes of our addiction, knowingly, we want people just to wreck their lives because you're not doing what you need to do for yourself. And, you know, I think we have to realize that family members need to just say, I don't have to deal with this. And I've been on both sides, but, you know, family members should be able to get the help they need for their lives. And if we're not taking care of us, we can't take care of those that we love. And we have to face what we need to face, and it takes its own journey. But, we can't assume to take people with us.
You're right, because there was one person, I made several attempts to try to speak to him about, you know, getting help or what is he doing. And, you know, when you write it off so many times and you realize that person won't listen, but you have to stand by and watch what's happening, eventually that's what you'd have to do, is you have to walk away. Because,
like we say, God has his own plan for you.
Yep.
You know, that's usually what we say. You know, everybody's journey is different, and they'll get it in the time they need to get it. And there's no time frame on exactly, you know, there's no numbers or percentages of, like, if you do this, then you have this much percentage of being sober. I mean, there's programs that will throw that out there. I'll say, you know, we're the number 2 rated or number 1 rated rehab in the country. That means absolutely nothing. It's just wanting to do the work and just being diligent about it once, if you want it. And
well,
if you don't, that's your choice, you know.
Yeah, well, you're amazing for helping other people. God bless you. I think that's beautiful.
Well, thank you. It's just, you know, it obviously in the 12 steps, like the more you go on the work, the 12th step is basically helping others. And that's what I do for a living, and that was my calling. I had a previous career, and then I was helping a pro bono thing for battered women, and I found myself wanting to be a social worker. And I found that the value in helping other people was just my thing, and I don't sit here saying everybody needs to do that, but I realized, you know, I'm in early, I stay late, I'm not getting paid for this work, but I enjoy every minute of it, and I feel responsible. And it's just finding that that's just a thing I like to do, and that's really what I want to do the rest of my life is just helping others. But, you know, we all have our path to what we want to do.
Well, I have to say, I wish more people were like you. I think we have too few giving people left in this world. People have become mostly, a lot of the time, very selfish, especially
mm-hmm.
those who don't have God, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you have to make that choice for yourself. And, you know, someone that comes from addiction is like, it's so easy to have resentment and to judge others. And that gets tiring, too. I mean, you'll sit in a rehab and say, this guy doesn't get it, and she doesn't get it, and this guy doesn't get it. And there you are sitting in that room. And that's just the fallacy of the disease. But, you know, you have to realize that, you know, people respond to people that want to help. And it's not the degree you have. It's the work that you do one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's money in the bank concept where you could say, well, if you need anything, come see me. I'll, you know, just let me know. It's like, no, you have to show that you're interested. You know, working with teenagers, it's like, you know, an inner city kid's not going to trust, you know, a white kid from Westchester, but they did trust me because I showed it in what I did and not the degrees I had or the whatever advantages I had. You know.
Yeah, they could feel it. And I know, Crystal, you do a lot of different films. Would you ever think of doing a topic of the heroin epidemic, addiction, recovery? Because I know you do a lot of script writing and reviewing.
Yes, there is a film project that I would like, that I had actually was trying to get off the ground, but then we got sidetracked on A Prayer for Justice, and this film is happening, but that did deal with the subject of heroin and then religion, you know, being what
mm-hmm.
saves people from it, and then, you know, repentance and learning and growing and then getting, you know, past it all. So, yeah, I would love to be able to make that film.
Yeah, we did one here where we were interviewed for a documentary on the heroin epidemic in Akron and in Northeast Ohio, but also what people are doing to just fight the battle every day. And we all have our own convictions, but it's also we have to respect where they're coming from and what their path is. But, you know, we can say what has worked for us. We can say what hasn't worked. And, of course, we have to follow through on it because any one of us could fall at any minute, and that's just human nature. But, you know, it's just to see, like, you can actually be sober, you can fight this and be happy, and there are things you can learn to do that are just as fun as any, you know, substance-related activity. You know, it just takes a lot of time to find what you like and what you like, you know, what works.
Well, we're almost at the end of the show, and I just wanted to recap because I really feel, coming from both of you and also my feeling, the message is for people that are listening, get help, get support, reach out, that you don't have to do this alone, and to be able to speak
right.
to someone, no matter what stage you're in, there's always someone there that wants to help, that wants to listen. There's always that light at the end of the tunnel, and not to give up.
There's always hope, and like the we use an acronym, Hold On, Pain Ends, and you know, there is hope, and that's all we can do. We have people dying every day, and we have people really work so hard to get this, had things going for them, and then in a split second, it was gone. But we can't, you know, people are like, well, how are you responding to this person, you know, no longer being on this earth? And it's like, all we can do is use it as motivation, not only for myself, but also to help others and just keep getting the message out there. That's all we can do. And we're going to keep fighting that battle to the last day on earth. No matter the results, we're going to be out there with the loudest and, the loudest people in the room.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you, both of you. Thank you, Crystal, for calling in. And Joe,
thank you.
Rob, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Alexa.
It's been just so incredible. We'd definitely love to have you back and keep fighting
Absolutely.
For this, to beat this epidemic. And again, thank
okay.
you, everyone, for tuning in to Insight into Healing. Everyone, have a good night, and God bless.